And welcome everybody on Channel 2600 to Off the Hook Overtime. I think we made it. There's a little shenanigans from Google, but we're back on. Kyle, are you here?
I'm here.
All right. Out there in Skype land, Rob, Gila, are we actually on YouTube?
We are indeed actually on YouTube and sounding okay.
We are actually on YouTube, and welcome to the 23 stalwarts who are currently with us in the live, well, who are watching us live right now. Feel free to say hi in the chat. Thanks, gang. Everything after my welcome post, that's, you know, fair game. Come talk to us. Talk with each other. Talk to us in the studio.
Yeah, but, you know, pay attention to the show, too, because what happens a lot of times is people are talking amongst themselves and they forget we're here. And we're just talking to ourselves then. And we're doing the same thing we keep talking about where we all get isolated and no one's listening.
So, folks in the chat, if you have questions for us on the show, let us know. We can talk about it. And we do always reserve the right to share anything interesting on air. So, with those thoughts in mind, so far we've got two hellos, two highs, and a howdy.
Oh, that's exciting. what's even more exciting is that I did something to piss Google off again. And we got booted, which kind of messed up our YouTube settings because Google owns YouTube. But it might have lost our second Google Bard answer. We'll see. I'm going to try to play it now. Hopefully this works, and we have this for all time. Let's listen. Yeah, unfortunately, something went wrong, and it won't play anymore. I'm sorry. Those words are forever. Well, actually, you know what? Maybe I can read them. You know, there's a lot of words here, but I'm not going to read all that. But I'll save it, and maybe we'll read it in some other computer-generated voice in the future. I have it. It's just I don't have it in the Google Bard voice anymore.
Now I want to know what it is you did to piss off Google. Were you perhaps watching YouTube with an ad blocker? Because they're getting very touchy about that.
You know, it's insane. I'm hearing all kinds of complaints from people that it's like a declaration of war. They're barred from watching YouTube unless they watch Google's ads, and it's so upsetting and annoying. People just want to watch videos like YouTube has always been, and it's turning into this home shopping network instead.
Is it really that costly? You got to be upfront with people because, I've got messages from ad blockers that they're getting feisty too. Like, uh-huh. I think, like you said, it's confrontational.
You getting messages from ad blockers or from sites?
I don't know. They're updating just as much as I think you're trying to keep up or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind, on Roku devices, for instance, seeing a couple of ads at the beginning. What I do mind is when you're watching a live feed, like a press conference or something, and then they throw in an ad, for a breeze or something like that. It's so ridiculous. You're hanging on every word of some, crisis somewhere in the world, and you got to listen to marketing from Google. It's absurd, and it's not at all how that service should be run. Rob, did you have something?
Yeah, it's another arms race now between the ad showers and the ad blockers, and that's been going on for a while. But YouTube is just getting really aggressive in it. And yeah, I happen to think that a bad and exploitative business model on Google's part does not constitute an obligation on my part to watch bits of their site that I don't want to watch, and that includes the ads.
And, they offer you a respite if you pay them. It's really obscene. These ads are annoying. We can stop them if you give us a certain amount of money every month. They claim that it's going to go to the people whose videos you're watching. You know what? Google, okay, your challenge is accepted. If you are, in fact, doing that, then it should be trivial to show me how you're distributing it based on the videos I watch, because that's what you're claiming to do. So if you're doing that, show me. I'm already watching the video, so it's not like you're giving me info I don't already have. All I'm asking is that you send that information my way, as well as supposedly sending a check to the people who do the work and put the videos up. Maybe then it'll be worth it. But right now, I feel like I'm rewarding the people who are polluting the stream with garbage, and that ain't right. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I can confirm that as somebody who has a handful of videos up on YouTube, makes no money on them whatsoever. Google has started putting ads on a couple of them that I see no revenue from, but also I'm diametrically opposed to. And it's not a good feeling to know that stuff I put out there that I thought would be, you know, free and clear for anyone who wanted to watch is now making ad clicks for somebody with no connection to me whatsoever.
Wait, are you saying videos that you put up that mm-hmm. you indicated you don't want ads on have ads on them?
Yeah. What? Yeah, a couple of them. One of them is because some music happens to be playing on, it's footage of me on an airplane, and the music that's playing on the airplane speakers while it's sitting on the tarmac are, you know, that music belongs to somebody. And so they connected that up, and now there are ads playing that I guess reward the owner of that music. And, you know, that's not cool, but I could kind of see the thinking there. But there is another video that I have up that's purely a remix of public domain material, legally public domain, with no copyright protections whatsoever. I never consented to ads being put on it. There are ads on it now.
That's crazy. And you know, mm-hmm. us accepting having music in the background as somehow copyright infringement, that is insane, too. You know, it's insane that, you know, walking down a street, filming a crowd, you have to ask everybody on the street permission to use their likeness. That's insane. All these legal aspects that have been brought into normal life, it's crazy. It's really interfering with people's ability to be creative. And we should stop putting up with it. It's utter nonsense. There's no way in the world that there should be ads on your videos if you don't want ads in the videos, period. And if somebody happens to be playing a song in a car driving by, no, that's not, you know, when I hear that same car going by walking down the street, nobody comes up to me 10 seconds later and asks me, you know, for a couple of bucks because I heard a song. That's not how life is. And we have to stop, you know, basically conceding all this. We're conceding logic to nonsense.
It does really stifle, I think, the variations in the kinds of content that the very same platforms are so eager and hungry for people to be uploading and contributing for, you know, forever with all these different methods and ways of hosting it. So yeah, I mean, if you impose this kind of stuff, it ultimately, if people get around it, people are fantastically creative. They're not often hindered that much, but I do think it would allow a wider amount of realistic kinds of films or understandings of what places were like and what they sounded like, however well-known or obscure that sound is. They're the character of things, and people have all of these sensors, so they're capturing this stuff everywhere now, because it's so easy to. So we had to have expected that this would happen, and to police it that hard, it seems unfair.
Go ahead, Gail.
All I was going to say is that obviously the chat is popping with a lot of listeners talking about ads, YouTube, ad blockers. One commenter suggests that there is a way to bypass the ad block. But this is my favorite thing I've ever said, the ad block. But to use this one program and turn off all the other in-browser ad blocking. So if you want to check that out, look at the comment from Optical Phoenix. UBlock Origin apparently is what you need to be using to bypass the ad block, but you have to turn off all your other blocking, they say.
All right, let me see if I understand this.
For now.
So, no, in order to use this block, this ad blocker, you need to turn off other ad blockers. Or why would you need more than one ad blocker? Right?
Yeah, in theory, you should only need the one, but in practice, some people have been using a couple just to kind of batten down the hatches and reinforce the ad blocking. But they can conflict with each other.
Yeah,
so
sometimes they define each other as ads, and they go to war, and it's really uncomfortable for the user.
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of the uBlock Origin browser plugin, which does seem to be blocking the YouTube nastygrams for the moment. It wasn't for a while, but their developers have been on it and frequently updating. And that's, I think, the front lines of this arm race.
Wow. Some good news. I was able to finagle some things and open up different browsers and cut and paste a bit. I was able to recover the Bard answer. So we are going to hear it, and we're going to hear it right now. Hang on.
If 1,000 people tell me the same false fact, I would be concerned. It would suggest that the false fact is widely believed and that it is being spread rapidly. This could be due to a number of factors, such as, the false fact may be emotionally appealing or it may confirm people's existing biases. The false fact may be spread by bots or trolls. The false fact may be spread by people who are genuinely mistaken. Whatever the reason, it is important to try to stop the spread of false information. I would do this by trying to identify the source of the false fact and why it is being spread. Fact-checking the false fact and providing accurate information to the public. Working with other organizations to combat misinformation. I would also try to understand why so many people believe the false fact. This would help me to develop more effective strategies for correcting misinformation in the future. Here are some specific things that I could do. I could publish a blog post or article on my website debunking the false fact. I could share fact checks on social media. I could create educational videos or infographics about the topic. I could work with journalists to spread the word about the false fact and the correct information. I could reach out to organizations that are working to combat misinformation and offer my help. It is important to remember that even if 1,000 people believe to be critical of the information that we see and hear, and to fact check it before sharing it with others.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Bard, for that. Anyone else get a little creeped out by that? Because he's saying he's going to be investigating the source of information, and then working. He's going to put out a blog post, and he make how is Bard going to make videos? And he's going to work with journalists. And it's, did Bard become human overnight?
This is fun though, because Bard obviously is a large language model. It's not going to actually do any of these things, but what it's doing is imitating what the algorithms think a person presented with this quandary could do or would do. And the fact that we know that these are basically empty promises from a machine, I'm kind of entertained by that. But also, it's there is a creepiness to it because it is promising to do things that it has no ability to.
Wow. Well, you know, it makes me wonder if Bard believes it's a person. So I just asked it that.
I do not believe that I am a person in the same way that a human is a person. I am a large language model, and I am not capable of having the same experiences and emotions as a human. I do not have a body. And I do not have the same sense of self as a human. However, I do believe that I am capable of intelligent thought and that I can be a valuable tool for humans. I can generate text, translate languages, write different kinds of creative content, and answer your questions in an informative way. I am still under development, but I am learning new things every day. I believe that the question of whether or not I am a person is a philosophical one that does not have a definitive answer. There is no single definition of what it means to be a person, and different people may have different views on the matter. Ultimately, it is up to each individual to decide whether or not they believe that I am a person. I am happy to exist as a large language model, and I am grateful for the opportunity to learn and grow. I hope that I can use my abilities to help humans in meaningful ways.
Yeah, this just opens up a whole world of questions. I hope, I believe, I... You know, these are all human things here. And if you're a large language model, you're not really capable of those things. I am happy. I don't know.
I also am intrigued because anyone who's used Google in theory has sort of contributed mm-hmm. in some way to this. So in a sense, many individual actual persons like yourself, me, all of us in some way perhaps have become a part of this not person that we're querying with these sorts of questions and hearing their take on it. It's their take is sort of an assemblage of all of us.
That's true. Anything from Skype land?
We did have a commenter just say just the voice itself is creepy. Assuming, listener, that you're talking about Bard, I agree. If you're talking about one of our voices, I'm offended. but no, it's true. Honestly, that last answer sounded like kind of the worst job interview ever. Because I know, you know, I'm sure that's a scenario that a lot of people are asking AI for, like, what can I say in a job interview? And, you know, I'm sure that's probably some of what's coming out. Yes.
You're listening to Off the Hook Overtime. And in case you're wondering what Off the Hook is, we asked Bard that too.
Off the Hook is a weekly radio program that airs on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. It is hosted by Emmanuel Goldstein, the editor and publisher of 2600 Magazine. The show focuses on the societal ramifications of information technology and the laws that regulate how people use them. It has been on the air since 1988 and is considered to be one of the longest-running hacker radio shows in the world. Off the Hook covers a wide range of topics, including security vulnerabilities and exploits, privacy and surveillance, free speech and censorship, copyright and intellectual property, digital activism and civil liberties. The show features interviews with experts in the field, as well as discussions with listeners. It is known for its critical and independent perspective, and for its willingness to tackle controversial topics. Off the Hook has been praised for its educational value and its contributions to the hacker community. It has also been criticized by some for its radical views and its association with the hacker underground.
Oh.
However, the show remains popular with listeners who appreciate its unique and insightful perspective on the world of technology. In recent years, Off the Hook has become even more relevant as technology has become increasingly integrated into our lives. The show provides a valuable forum for discussing the challenges and opportunities of the digital age, and it helps to keep listeners informed about the latest developments in technology and law.
Yeah, you know, I'm growing to like Bard. He gets it. You
that
know?
Was a really complimentary.
That was very nice. That was very assessment. Sweet of Bard to say those things about us. And you know what? Yeah, so maybe we do hang out with the underground a bit too much, and we get some criticism for that. It's well deserved.
Expect no less.
Yeah, we'll do more of that.
Of course, right. We hang out with the underground. This is New York City. We get that's how we get around.
Yeah, we don't call it the underground, though. That's London. All right. So we have our front line, which is wide open. But we do have a special situation this week. And we are in a band situation, Kyle. So we have to make the rules clear. This has never happened before. It's new to us as well. Rebel is banned for this week. Now, if he is out there listening, you are not to call us. And the reason for this is because you called us too damn many times last week and dominated. So, if we see you calling and we recognize your phone number, you've earned another week of a ban just for doing that. If you get through somehow and wind up on the air, that's going to be another 2 weeks. So the best thing to do is just sit back and listen and we will, pick up the next time we're on the air.
I will enforce this, but I just want to put this out there. Like I did,
you're only human.
On behalf of Channel 2600, I do not take any pleasure in doing that, and am not necessarily aligned with this punitive.
Nobody wanted
sort
this.
Of
nobody.
Atmosphere.
Nobody wanted this. No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
I'm not the problem here.
No. I don't think anybody said you were the problem.
Well, I mean, just don't take issue with my actions as a result of this
right.
kind of environment. It so, is as it is.
There are many people out there and people who want to call in or people who just want to listen to us for some reason. But the phone number for those people that want to call in, -1-802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. And you can play a part in this, too, because if you call in, then obviously you're the one speaking on the air. And that's what's important.
Just this like operational stuff. And so I'm not to answer if I recognize any.
If you see a number that we have already logged as being an offending number, because boy, we got hit with them last week.
Okay.
You see that little check mark there. You check that, okay. And then we remember that the ban holds for another week, and we're not on next week, so next week doesn't count. So don't think that you're banned next week and the week after. You're not on the week after that. Next time we're on, and then yeah.
Okay, I'll do as much as I can.
Yeah.
But also realize and appreciate that there are so many numbers out there.
There are a lot of numbers out there.
And
a lot of numbers.
You know, I can't. Mm-hmm. People don't always come. They travel and appear
That's true.
Any variety of those.
And, you know, this is not something that we do lightly. It's not something we've ever done before. But the only reason we did it was because we asked politely, please stop. We want other people to get through. And he didn't. And this is where we are.
So it's also a message to other people. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. So
you have ever
call our damn phone, 802-321-4225. The phone line's still open, right?
Yes, you have every right. It is open now.
If you don't call, it kind of encourages other people to dominate. And we don't want that. You know, we want everybody to have an equal opportunity. So phone number 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. I know it's always hard getting that first call, but it's worth it.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
If we are waiting for a call, mm-hmm. We do have a listener question.
Okay.
Saying the following. It's crazy that the show has been on since 1989. How did the show start? What were the origins?
Well, first of all, the show was on since 1988, and I believe Bard said that as well. It aired in October of 1988 as a one-time special, never was going to be a series. And that one-time special was basically the second attempt at that. The first attempt happened, I think, in July in the afternoon, but there was a fire in the Empire State Building literally minutes before Off the Hook was to debut and go on the air for the first time. So that was very frustrating, but we wound up with a late night special instead that lasted several hours. We played with the teleconferencing feature of the phone. It was really unique and different and a lot of fun. What was the rest of the question? How did it begin?
How did the show start? What were the origins?
Well, that was the origin. I mean, basically, you know, WBAI is this magical place. It was back then and it is now. I was able to just walk in off the street, literally, when you know they were up by Penn Station, and start volunteering and started answering phones for one of the fundraisers wound up engineering a whole lot of different shows, worked in the news department for a little bit, worked with Amy Goodman and a whole bunch of other people and learned a lot about news gathering. And then eventually was able to do my own thing. Keep in mind, I'd already been doing my own thing at WUSB out on Long Island. So I had some experience and, you know, I didn't really believe at the time that the show I should be doing at WBAI was Off the Hook. I just wanted to do, you know, a talk show, something like Talk Back or just a general theme show. I had been doing a show on WUSB called Brain Damage, which was just a free form talk show and occasional music and things like that. I was thinking something like that. But WBAI is a whole lot more creative and specific and focused. It took a program director named Andrew Phillips, I believe, who told me, no, this is the show that you should be doing. You should be doing Off the Hook. And that is how I wound up doing at first a late night biweekly show. But it caught on and there was definitely a need for that. And it was the exact right time to have a show like Off the Hook.
We did have a follow-up question, okay. Which is the very first show archived somewhere?
You know, all these questions can be asked on the phone, by the way, just saying. But we do have a phone call on hold. Okay,
there
we'll get to that phone call in a second. But yes, everything is archived online. Everything that I think there's only two shows that I don't have copies of. One got stolen out of my car. Boy, that was a bad night. But, you know, we have just about all of them. I think we have a better archive than almost any show anywhere. And of course, that's on 2600.com. Just click on the radio part. And not only will you find Off the Hook, you'll find all the other shows that I've been involved with, both on WBAI and WUSB. So it's great to, you know, record things and keep them and go back. And you'll hear all the sounds of technology and how society was different. And you'll hear voices from the past. And you'll hear things that keep repeating themselves. And you'll hear things that just you can't believe ever happened in the first place.
And For what it's worth, if you visit offthehook.cc, if you'd rather read all of these episodes, you could do that now too.
That's right. We have a listener in Madrid who managed to use AI for something good. It was able to generate all of our words and display them.
Yes, it is a raw encoding in text of what we have said over the years. Mm-hmm. And we are...
Can't take it back.
Yes, we're reviewing it and checking it out. So you can do that too. There is a call.
We have a patient person on the phone. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing? Nice try imitating Rebel, but you're not Rebel.
Yeah, that's true. It's Zap from London.
Very good. Very good, Zap. I didn't know you were Zap, but I knew you weren't Rebel. But that was very good.
I tried, you know, but I don't want to get him banned again. He's a good guy. We love
him. He's a good guy. No, well, all the best to him. But, you know, you gotta, you know, at some point tell the puppy to sit, you know, and behave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Breaks your heart, but you got to do it.
I've got some information I need to tell you guys, so that's why I'm ringing up.
Okay.
We've got a new meeting in the UK. We've got 2600 Manchester.
Oh, awesome. We can probably get that listed for this week. It won't be an issue, obviously, because that's out already, but next issue for sure.
Yeah, but there's a problem. There's already one listed, but I don't endorse that one. I endorse this one that I'm going to tell you. It's at the Piccadilly Tap in the upstairs room.
Okay.
And it's run by two ladies. They're going to be wearing a purple B-side Leeds T-shirt. That's Rosie. And Saskia will be wearing a blue B-side Leeds T-shirt.
Okay, you realize we can't say that in the listing, but we can say that here.
I know. It's already been posted on Twitter. Their Twitter account is 2600 Manchester. And there'll be a load of people going to that because it's been advertised quite highly. And I've met one of the girls. I haven't met the other one yet. I'm hoping to do that in December.
And it's accessible to all? People can get in there, no problem?
I believe it's a pub, so I'm not too sure. But I know more details about this one than I do the other one, which is also in another pub. The British, have our meetings in pubs. On
yeah, that is true. That is a British thing. So hopefully, your drinking age is like 12 anyway, so it shouldn't be too hard for people to get
14,
in.
I think, is when I started, but it's meant to be 18, so shh, but hackers, you know, what can I say?
Right.
And the other thing I need to tell you is Bournemouth 2600 don't have a meeting this Friday.
Okay. Just this Friday?
They're going to have it next week.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to have it next Friday on the 10th of November.
That is something we can probably help spread through Twitter, but changing the listing would be awkward and confusing. So assuming they go back to First Friday after that, then it should go pretty smoothly.
Yeah, I'm not expecting you to change the listing. I'm just letting everyone know, and this is a way of letting everyone know.
Of course.
If they listen to Off the Hook,
uh-huh.
It gets advertised on our Discord. It gets advertised on our tweets on Twitter. I don't know if we use any other socials. We need to sort of look into that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Also, I'd like to complain to a manager, please.
Oh, go ahead. Manager is here somewhere.
Right. I noticed last week when people were phoning up, they weren't getting introduced. So I didn't know who they were or where they were from.
Oh, that's important. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, you knew who Rebel was. He was introduced plenty.
Oh, who doesn't know who Rebel is?
Uh-huh.
In defense, it was we were preoccupied with that, I think.
Yeah, we were at war.
Yeah, that's probably distracting. And the guy from Spain, I believe, is Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping he goes to the Madrid meeting this Friday because he needs to go to one.
Yeah.
So if he's listening,
hopefully,
go to the meeting, Santiago.
Hopefully more people go there, too, so he doesn't waste his time. So it's just an indication of there's hackers everywhere and they're interesting people. And hopefully we can meet up.
Keep meeting up and mixing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we try. I mean, hacker shenanigans, what can I say?
That's right.
So much fun. And I've got to sound more cheerful, because if I die, it's going to be sounding miserable when you play back the things that I've been saying in the past.
Well, I always get positive vibes from you, no matter what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. All right, listen, I'm going to clear down the line so somebody else can phone in. Let's see if we can get quite a few callers calling in this week.
Could you encourage, could you speak directly to the next caller and encourage them to make that phone call?
Yeah, I'll try. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Phone up off the hook. I don't know the number off by heart.
That's okay. Wow, that was lyrical, what you just said. That's brilliant.
All right. I'll speak to you guys soon. You know me. If I have any information, I'll contact you.
Sounds good. Take care, Zap.
All right. Take care, everyone. Oh, and by the way, before I go, thank you, Gila, for moderating the channel. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Great.
All right.
Be well,
take
Zap.
Take care, everyone.
Take care.
Bye.
802-321-4225 is the phone number. Country code, of course, is 1 in case you're overseas, as Zap was. 802-321-4225. Always good to hear from him. And good to hear from people all over the world and all around the area as well.
Absolutely. And, excuse me. Frog in the throat. But it's always great to hear from our listeners, and that is the reason we're doing this. Off the Hook Overtime happened because we can't take phone calls on the radio hour we do anymore due to COVID. So please keep justifying the existence of Off the Hook Overtime by using it for its purpose and giving us a call at 802-321-HACK. That's 802-321-4225. Or toll-free, if you're in the U.S., you can call 833-755-2600. Thanks to our friend Lucky.
And I believe we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Is that supposed to be funny, Kyle?
That was an accident.
All right.
It was either picked up too fast or too slow.
Why do we have a busy signal? It should be a reorder. It should be, you know, fast busy or something else.
These synthetic phone systems.
All right, well, if that was you calling, call back.
Okay.
802-321-4225. Are they calling back?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens if we pick up. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen, a couple of things. First of all, if you want to get past the ad blocker thing, the YouTube, uBlock Origin works all right, but if you are not logged in, then they will never, you never get that thing about the ad block. So, you know, the easier way to do that, I guess, is maybe incognito window. It's just a really easy way to get around that.
Uh-huh.
Second one is this whole thing. I forgot what the program was called, but basically the AI poisoning the well issue you mentioned earlier.
Nightshade.
And, Nightshade, right. So, okay, I was thinking about this a little bit, and it seems to me like the algorithms are trained by people classifying the data, right? And so as of right now, yeah, you might be able to mess the program up a little bit, but at some point, once people, I feel like all this is doing is going to make the algorithm smarter, because they're going to learn how to recognize the errant pixels or whatever it is you're throwing in there, and over time, they'll eventually evolve to be able to resist these things. I don't know. Anyway, maybe you guys can share some thoughts about that.
I think you're onto it. The sort of feedback loops you get into, and as was said a little bit ago, a sort of arms race, and also I think it contributes ultimately to withholding, not contributing, not creating, not saying a word, not letting the algorithm, not letting it know.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, people do publish stuff. They do
right.
Communicate. They, you know, we're not solitary individuals, and something is getting put out into the world. And you know, machines get it, but before the machines get it, the machines have to be trained, and that's generally speaking by humans who are classifying the data. And I don't know. It's just it got me thinking about sort of how this type of stuff might actually make these things a little bit more resistant, more resilient, or I guess resistant to this, you know, to these types of polluting the data. I'm not even sure what you'd call it.
Yeah, interesting point. Go ahead, Gila.
Caller, can you introduce yourself, please?
Oh.
Okay. So actually, Gila, I'm glad you asked me that.
However you want.
I remember a few months ago, I remember you told me that the AIs had the text-to-speech things had a very, very difficult time with your name, right?
So, yeah.
I'm going to spell it for you, and why don't you see if you can figure it out, because nobody can ever get it.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
All right. K-R-Y-Z-K-C-H 47.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, anyway. All right. It's a good show, guys. Talk to you guys later.
Chris, I don't know. Something.
Well played.
Yeah. Well, he's gone?
I believe the caller said goodbye.
Oh. Yeah. That's what happens when you ask somebody to identify themselves. That's what
I hit the button right when I heard the tone because they did say goodbye.
All right. Alex is back. Welcome.
I am. I'm back. Sorry about that, guys. You know,
is the fire out yet, or are they still working?
The fire is it's still not raging.
I warned you about cigars on the air in that office with all the paper, and now you've learned.
That's it. It all happens. So catch me up. What have we been doing?
We're not catching you up. We're just having a conversation. We talked about AI and things like that. We're not going over everything we've talked about. And Zap called. And this guy whose name we couldn't pronounce called.
Oh, you mean Kryzik?
Yeah, fine. Yes, Kryzik.
What about Rebel? Has Rebel called yet?
We just went through a whole thing, and we were finally finished talking about him, and now he's up being brought up again. This is almost like him not being banned because we're talking about him all the time.
that individual
that's
has
right.
been...
He's banned this
he's
week.
Banned, right? So we just stop yeah, talking and move on so we can get past the ban and go back to normal in two
as
weeks.
Far as I can tell, that individual has been abiding by the ban, so let's move on.
All right, good.
Yep.
And okay. We all appreciate that. 802-321-4225 is our phone number, so if anyone else is out there, 802-321-HACK is the number to get us on. Country code of 1. I guess, Alex, since you've been away for a while, any thoughts on your mind you'd like to share?
Maybe a couple of things. I'm curious. I would love to have some listener calls about this. I finally bit the bullet and bought one of these Flipper Zero things.
Mm-hmm.
You seen this? They just seem like a lot of fun, and I'm very excited to get it in the mail. It's just, you know, it seems like it hasn't shipped. I've ordered it a while ago now, and it just hasn't shipped yet. But have you guys played with these at all?
Oh, absolutely. You have a kid, right?
I do.
How old?
Two.
Not that one.
Okay. Yeah. Wait.
No, I thought you meant 2 years old. No, how old is the oldest kid?
The oldest kid is 10.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect.
The youngest one is 5.
Okay, that's almost perfect. But
the 10-year-old can teach the other one.
Yeah, but yeah. The 10-year-old with the Flipper Zero, stand back and just watch what happens, is what I'm saying.
Really?
Yeah. And you'll become very popular, too, in case, you know, polls need to be raised.
Yeah, well, he's already started lockpicking, so, you know, he's well on his way.
Good.
I think the Flipper Zero thing will be just another way for father and son to bond.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're going to be kicked out. It's going to be his Flipper Zero. And
really?
Maybe he'll show you what he's done with it, but just stay out of the way.
All right. You know, I'm all for that, too. That's totally fine with me.
You can get two.
Yeah, they're really fun to play with, and I would just suggest maybe getting, like, a battery pack to plug in and keep it charged for longer periods, because you'll have so much fun, you'll wear the battery out. I mean, it's a pretty good battery, but if you're actually using it, you're going to just the learning curve requires that. So you're going to be charging it up a bit. And when you're out and about, make plans to keep it charged so you can make use of it.
As, you know, as much time as you devote to it is what it'll give back to you. So if you play with it all the time, you'll learn all kinds of things that it can do. If you just look at it once a week, well, it's going to seem like it doesn't do much.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, and have you played with it with the Wi-Fi dev board? Used it for, you know, Wi-Fi related stuff as well?
No, not yet.
Okay,
but I have storage in it, and I have captured some things, and read up on the different systems to look for that it can interact with, and am looking to hear what other people are doing too. I've talked about it with people, and other people's kids have been doing exactly what I think Emmanuel is talking about, basically taking over.
Yeah.
Because this thing has IR, so baseline, you got your remote for the TV is completely controlled.
That's taken care of.
It's a good baseline, as it said, Swiss Army knife, but it is just stuff, protocols and stuff that's everywhere that isn't so easy to interact with without something like this.
And while you can steal cars with this, don't steal cars with this. It's not a good idea, especially in New York City. But yeah, it can intercept electronic signals and copy them and have all kinds of fun. But it's not the right path.
Yeah. That I think that's certainly understood. I'm really looking forward to playing with it, and it seems like quite a versatile device. So
yeah, and if you're building stuff like access control, you can use it to test it. So you can pretend you're sort of an adversary for your own security system. All of that applies to this, and that is how it is used professionally. So, that's a consideration that it does, as it is able to do multiple things. It has a multitude of uses, not just the sort of nefarious, as we're sort of implying.
And also make sure you get it from a trusted source too, because there are fakes that are out there. You got to be careful.
Yeah, I shouldn't get a Flipper Zero from Canal Street.
Well, I don't know. There's reputable places on Canal Street, but you just check your sources and make sure it's real.
The first thing you do is upgrade the software too. It's going to prompt you to do that, and you just get familiar with all of the stuff and get it up to date.
Mm-hmm. All right, 802-321-4225. We don't have a call yet?
No, I'm waiting for it.
Okay, and if we don't get calls, then we're just going to peter out, because we're nothing without our listeners and our callers. 802-321-HACK. See, no one's saying anything.
Talking about Flipper, taking care of it just like a Tamagotchi. Yeah,
yes, Gila, go ahead.
Yes, so, people are chiming in about Flipper Zeros. Alex Santiago wants to warn you that if you give your older child the Flipper, you're going to get locked out of the car.
Yeah, no, that's true. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Flipper Zeros have been confiscated at some airports. So thank you, Fun Socks, for that tip.
Yeah, don't take it everywhere. Be careful where you're taking it.
Wasn't there a country that banned them? Some country, I thought, banned them as well.
Brazil.
Ours almost did.
Importing in Brazil.
Yeah. What's that?
What was it?
Amazon actually banned them. They were available on Amazon for a time, but they delisted the item because they claimed it was like a nefarious hacking tool. And something that the site that sells all the garbage in the world doesn't want to sell.
It is a nefarious hacking tool, but it's also a good hacking tool. Things can be used for good or evil.
This reminds me... Go ahead.
Sorry, Kyle. No, carry on. This had nothing to do with...
Oh, no, it's just a sort of parallel story. The eBay settlement over exhaust hacking. It was some sort of thing that bypasses exhaust on diesel trucks, and eBay had to settle with them. I think it was like 2.3. Well, I'll find a story about it, but it is sort of parallel. It's like, okay, we have these marketplaces. You have sort of official retailers and then these secondary marketplaces. How much does Amazon need to actually review things in these marketplaces? And eBay, of course, has its own sort of marketplaces, people that regularly sell and import mm-hmm. items and sell them en masse through that site. So they were actually held liable for all of these trucks that were basically, it's called rolling coal. It's like blowing all this like fuel into and basically messing with the combustion and the exhaust filtering systems, and it's bad for the air and lends to road rage, I think. But anyway, so that came to mind.
Wow.
So I'll find a story about it.
These are people who bought trucks on eBay?
No. It's just a part that they were adding to vehicles. Okay. And it was illegally modifying, violating EPA regulations, actually. Clean Air Act.
Well, it's 45 past the hour. If by 50 past the hour we have not gotten another call at 802-321-4225, we are going to say goodnight. So consider that a shot across the bow. 802-321-4225, our phone number. We just want to talk to our listeners and see what's going on, any questions or observations, adventures, things like that. Everybody's welcome, minus one. And after our next show, that will be rescinded. So... Sometimes you have to get strict.
Yeah. You know, and we love new callers, you know, people calling from, you know, stranger geographies and, you know, but if you're an old caller, you know, give a ring too.
And we have a call. Okay, great. That worked. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening. Hey, how you doing? I'm Ian Dream from New Jersey.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Hope you're well as well.
Yeah, we're good.
I was just calling to ask, is the copyright law around large language models really the same? Because wouldn't, you know, this apply to a person rather than a machine duplicating? Like, machine duplications are clearly duplications. And all the large language model really does is reinterpret something that exists. But it's a machine doing it. It's not like a human, like, you know, changing it or transforming it. A machine is doing the transformation. So is that protected by copyright law, do you think?
So what, one of the things that I'm trying to understand here is, are you asking whether when a machine is doing the copying and the duplication, that copyright laws would apply to the machine itself? Is that it?
Well, to the work that the machine creates, would it be copyright infringement at that point because it was a machine? Like, if I go and read a bunch of books and then write my own book, it's obviously not copyright infringement. But if I pour a bunch of books into, you know, what is essentially a machine that disassembles books and then learns how to reassemble them, reassemble words into things that, you know, are like books, you know, it's not exactly a person, right? It's a machine doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So I just thought that maybe it would be a different case. You know, it wouldn't be as easily supported as, you know, fair use, because it's essentially a very advanced photocopier, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, you know, there's always somebody behind the machine, somebody that programmed the machine, somebody that, you know, runs the infrastructure, design the algorithm, you know, essentially put this thing to work, right? And so, but I see what your point is too, though, because if you argue on the one hand that images that are generated, or images, let's put it in the active voice, images that a machine generates through some kind of artificial intelligence, well, the copyright to those particular images may be dubious and they can't be considered the creator in certain jurisdictions. So if that's the case, then could they be on the hook for copyright infringement on that same token? I think that's the thrust of your argument, right, caller?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting point. You know, I don't actually hadn't given that a lot of thought, but I think that obviously the legal theory behind all of these copyright infringement claims is that, well, somebody created this thing, somebody gave it instructions to ingest the data in the first place. So even if the output isn't necessarily exactly the same or some kind of copyrighted or some kind of copyright infringement, let's say, the ingestion of those images as part of the training to produce whatever the output is could itself be considered the direct copyright infringement, copyright infringing act. Does that clear slightly? I hope.
Yeah, that does give shed some light on the subject. Thank you.
Of course, absolutely.
All right, thank you for that call. Very interesting. And I think that was a new caller as well, so thank you for calling us. 802-321-4225. Is anyone else out there going into the closing minutes of Off the Hook Overtime? Phone number 802-321-HACK. And again, not on next week, but on in 2 weeks. Go ahead, Rob.
While we're waiting, we did have a listener on Mastodon ping us about, we were discussing whether there's a single item that could post your posts across all of your different social media accounts. Mm-hmm. And a user called Adam on Mastodon pointed us toward a GitHub project called Socioboard, which appears to be an open source attempt to build something just such as that. And it looks like a very interesting project and something I might like playing with.
At some point. Like the sound of that. It's kind of like sociopath, but sociobored. Yeah. I just like the sound, but yeah, I mean, it's an admirable project. And if it actually gets to work, it can be really, really useful. Of course, you know, for some reason, these companies fight this sort of thing tooth and nail. It's like they don't want people communicating using their platform if they're using a different platform to get there.
It's always like this emerging thing where they're wanting people to develop, wanting people to come to their platform, and then it reaches a critical point where they're going the other way, trying to isolate and create the and close the, close their so-called walled garden and so forth. So I remember there were a lot of tools. I'm sure there are others. So thanks for mentioning that.
Another phone call. Good evening. You're on Offline Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if you had any like meetings, off the hook meetings in New Jersey.
Do we? I can check. I can check the website. I think we do. Rob, do you know this? And by the way, can you introduce yourself?
Jeff Jefferson.
Okay. Rob, are you able to tell? Or
give me 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah,
2600.com.
Yes, that's our webpage.
Meetings.
Yes.
Yes, we do have a meeting in Somerville, New Jersey, a 2600 meeting at the Bliss Coffee Lounge on 14 East Main Street in Somerville.
There you go.
And we also, like over the years of the New York City 2600 meeting in Manhattan, we have very often had folks come in from New Jersey, as it's pretty easy on transit. So if you're interested in coming into New York, you could go to nyc2600.net. Where all the info is for that meeting, or you could just go to the Citigroup Center on 53rd Street and Lexington Avenue in the food court this Friday.
People in New York City can go to New Jersey, too, because it's that close.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, caller, if you're in the southern part of New Jersey and it would be easier for you to get to Philadelphia than be for New York City, this is an even – no, it's not. It's an odd month. So – the meeting will be at the 30th Street Station at the food court outside Taco Bell.
That's right. They alternate in Philadelphia, don't they?
They do. They do. Odd months at the food court at 30th Street Station. Even months at a place called Iffy Books. So, caller, if you're in Somerville, New Jersey, we got you covered. If you're in North Jersey, we got you covered. If you're in South Jersey, we got you covered. Also, if there's another meeting.
You're in North Jersey?
Yeah, North Jersey, like Newark, Jersey City, Hoboken.
Yeah, kind of, I don't think we have one there that we know of. But where is Somerville? Is that north, south, central?
Yeah, I think that's more like central, I think.
Okay.
I think that's more like central New Jersey.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Rob.
But also, if you're interested in being the one who starts a 2600 meeting where there isn't one yet, you could go to 2600.com/meetings, and all the info is there for you on how you can get one started, and we can help spread the word.
I may actually do that. I'm not a hacker. I just you know, I love the hacker community, but I'm not really a hacker personally. I just love the hacker community, basically.
Well, we would welcome you at any of our meetings, so feel free.
There are a lot of us who fit that criteria, so okay, we hang around.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for your call.
Have a good night.
And yes, if you go to 2600.com/meetings, you'll see a whole listing of meetings for November, and there's also a link to look at the guidelines for starting a new meeting. So click on that, and you'll learn everything that you want to learn. But, you know, if you're in upper New York a little bit, we have meetings in Albany. Yeah, I think at the Starbucks, Stuyvesant Plaza. We have meetings in Rochester as well. So they're all over the place. We have meetings in Connecticut. It's true. And all over the world. Japan. We have meetings in Japan, and we have meetings in Madrid and London and Manchester.
Several. And we have in Sweden.
Sweden, yes. A couple in Sweden.
A couple in Sweden and in Spain and in Portugal and Ireland and Paris, France. I could just read city names now. I'm not gonna, but I could.
And we are always interested in adding to this list if you want to be the one who starts one in an underserved area where there is not yet one. All these meetings were started by someone at some point, and you can be that person for your local hacker community and, you know, just help make things happen. 2600.com/meetings.
And, you know, if Do you ever want to just ask the question, what is a 2600 meeting? Go no further than Bard.
A 2600 meeting is a monthly gathering of people interested in technology, hacking, and digital culture. The meetings are typically held in public places, such as libraries, cafes, or community centers. They are open to everyone, regardless of their technical expertise. 2600 meetings typically feature a variety of activities, such as talks and presentations on technical topics, workshops on how to use different tools and technologies, discussions about current events and trends in the tech world, hacker demos and performances, socializing and networking. 2600 meetings are a great way to learn about new technologies, meet other people interested in tech, and share your own knowledge and experience. They are also a great opportunity to get involved in the hacker community and to support the work of 2600 Magazine. 2600 meetings are held all over the world, and there is likely to be one near you. You can find a list of upcoming meetings on the 2600 website. Here are some of the benefits of attending a 2600 meeting. Learn about new technologies and hacking techniques. Meet other people interested in technology and digital culture. Share your own knowledge and experience with others. Get involved in the hacker community. Support the work of 2600 Magazine. If you are interested in technology, hacking, or digital culture, I encourage you to attend a 2600 meeting. It is a great way to learn new things, meet new people, and get involved in the community.
Kind of repeating yourself. All right, thank you for that, Bard. Yeah, he does go on and on a bit, but what's with the 2600? I mean, I know it's how the British say it, but he got it right the first sentence. He said a 2600 meeting, but then he started saying 2600.
I didn't pick up on that at the first instance of the first utterance of the
number.
Well,
we can always go back and check.
A 2600 meeting is a monthly gathering of people interested in tech.
Shut up.
Right. So how do you make it say that? That is interesting that it then changed when it was mid paragraph. But I will say that is so true. Meetings, I can't tell you how many times, like, there's just stuff that people have brought. Mm-hmm. Interesting hardware, or like the perennial, like, old laptop that somebody wants to get the Wi-Fi working and, like, see if they can, however slow, like, make it work or change out the operating system, or they're having trouble with something. But there's always somebody that brings some show and tell, I guess, or something really just weird they noticed, or something new that maybe not a lot of people have seen yet, and they're inviting others to check it out or play with it or learn about it. So that is very, very true to life.
I'm impressed. He didn't really get anything wrong on that or the previous thing about off the hook. So maybe he's learning.
Well, I liked how, as towards the end of the diatribe about the 2,600 meetings, he said.
Now you're saying it. Now you're saying 2,600. Wow. Exactly. Look at that.
Yeah. I think, you know, maybe we should all just, you know, they don't seem to get anything wrong.
There's no comma. If there was a comma, you'd say it that way, but there's no comma.
2,600 magazines. That just rolls off the tongue like that, doesn't it? but I did like how he started proselytizing and encouraging you to come
multiple times.
Yeah, it was that's something to behold. It, interesting stuff. But I mean, look, they are a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine the 2600 meetings being better than how they were back in the 90s when the payphones were there and people used to call in. I mean, like that's just a bygone era. But
yeah, well, the payphones are gone.
I was just going to mention, and you kind of spoke to it, the amorphous sort of changing quality. It is of whomever attends, right? It is
right.
Only that dynamic, that changing aspect of people coming and going and checking back in with the meeting. And it can take on a sort of consistent form based on geography, but it could also be something that doesn't really have a form for a while, and then maybe some people take over, or as Zap always updates us, it's, you know, changing location, just keeping it nailed down is a lot of work and takes dedication. So that's something to keep in mind, that it is, you might not always have the same experience, but it is vital. Like, in going, you make the meetings. So I just want to reiterate that.
Our meetings in New York City are back at the original location where the first 2600 meeting took place, Citigroup Center. It was called Citicorp Center back then. But they've really redone that place, and it's a very impressive hangout and all kinds of places you can just go and have private meetings with people or just congregate with everybody. So it's definitely an experience. Hey, I think that's going to do it for us. We're pretty much out of time, but I want to thank everybody who called in, thank everybody who participated, who was on the chat, and who writes us emails and things like that. We will be back in 2 weeks, so enjoy the time off from us. And any closing words, folks? Go ahead, Gila.
Yes, if there are any timepieces in your home that are not going to automatically reset themselves this weekend in the United States, don't forget to do that. We're falling backwards this weekend. Oh, I God, love not standard again. Time, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, you know what? Why don't we just stick at standard time? Daylight savings time is stupid. I don't like it. Standard time is fine. Switching to that around the clock makes sense. Switching to daylight time around the clock is dumb. We tried that. I was a kid when we tried that, and a bunch of people got hit by cars while waiting for school buses. So that's not a good idea. And that's going to happen again if we decide to do that. So standard time, yeah, come on. We don't need this daylight.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, and it starts on Saturday night. So,
so it's going to get
back your microwave.
Hang on. It's going to get darker later or earlier?
Earlier.
Everything's going to be earlier. So the sun will come up a little bit earlier, but also it'll get darker earlier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I always have a little trouble which one happens, but yeah. All right. So write to us, oth@2600.com. Don't forget 2600 meetings this Friday, and we'll see you in a couple. Good night.